a few sort of creative things here in regard to our series and in regard to, I'm stuck here, aren't I? And in regard to, you know, the things that we do here. Inviting you to take part in. Part of what we want to do in the next 20 days, what we call up, this is great, 20 days now. Steve, 20 day challenge. That's why we hired him, is to come up with things like that. The 20 day challenge for 20 days. Actually, what it is it's growing in our walk with Him. If we're just here on a Sunday morning and we absorb whatever it is that we can, I don't think that's enough to grow us the way that God wants to grow us in our walk with Him. So I think some of you probably read your Bibles during the week and you have a daily devotion time and we provide at the end of the YouVersion notes a reading plan for the week. But I would suspect there might be someone here who never opens their Bible during the week. I would suspect that. As followers of Christ, I think we need to open our Bibles during the week, or at least let His Word somehow grow and be in our hearts. And so what we're offering to you is something called the 20-Day Challenge. And it's simply reading a verse a day, and just letting God do whatever He wants to do in your heart and mind with that verse. We're in a series now talking about who we are in Christ and how who we are as His children. And so those verses are going to coincide with that. And so what you can do, either you can sign the email list that is on the counter at the welcome site there, and someone will email you a verse every day of the week. So you can sign up that way to just read that verse and put your email address down there. If you're a paper person and you like putting things on your fridge or your mirror, you can get a copy of it with all 20 days and the verses. This is not hard. It's just a remembering thing. And so you can put it on your mirror. You won't get a lovely colored one like this. Yours will be black and white because we don't have color copier here at the church. So you'll get a black and white. And so you can take this with you, and this has all 20 days verses on it. Or you can sign up for the email, or you can find the weekly verses on the bottom of your YouVersion notes. So there are several ways to do that. And then the one other thing that we've been talking about is the series challenge. Is that what it is? Yes, the series challenge at gmail.com. Heart. Maybe He's revealing something to you through these verses that you'll read during the week. Maybe He's just putting something on your heart or you've been growing in Him. We'd love to hear about that. We'd love to hear about that. And you can just email us. Steve and I are the only ones that have access to that email account. And we'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Maybe it's just something simple like, you know, God really encouraged me today. You know, or maybe it's, you know, God really showed me this today. We will not share that in this bigger context without anyone's permission. We will never use your name and say, hey, Steve sent something this week and it was about this. And so it's confidential unless you give us permission just to share for the corporate encouragement of that. So that's the series challenge at Gmail. You might email us during the series or you might email at the end. And so, woo! Information overload? I hope not. But some just different options because people learn and respond in different ways. And so these are just some ways that we can do that and be connected during the week and go even beyond just Sunday morning. Well, this year at Pioneer Park Church, we've chosen the theme, Living in the Fullness of God. Living in the fullness of God. And last week, we concluded a number of weeks where we've been considering what God is like. Steve mentioned that earlier. The reason we consider those things is that as we get to know God better, we walk closer with him, we get to know who he is and what he's like. That's what happens when we get to know what he's like. We walk closer with him, we grow in him. And as we do that, we grow toward a fuller sense of not only God's character, but also who he calls us to be. And to continue growing toward living in the fullness of God, we not only need to have a basic understanding of who he is, of what he's like, we also need to be clear on who we are in him. And so we grow in our understanding of him and in our standing with him. Well, this week we're beginning for the next few Sundays, the next few weeks, to look at our identity as God's chosen people, as God's people, as his chosen people, as his family, and we're simply calling it chosen. And over these few weeks, as we take a brief look at who we are, we'll see that as God's people, he has chosen. Next slide. He has chosen us. The series is called Chosen, but we'll see that he has chosen us, which also coincides with the fact that he's redeemed us. We'll also then, next Sunday, look at the change sanctified us. We'll talk about that big word next week, sanctified. And the fact in week three that he has called or activated us. He's called us to be active. And we're doing this so that we can have the courage and confidence to be the people he has designed us to actually be and to live as the people he's called us to be, and I think that's a good thing. How many of you have ever used a coupon? How many of you ever, you've ever used a coupon? Right, okay. Yeah, about half of you, it looks like. I thought it would be more, but some of you might just be tired and didn't want to put your arm up. So I would think almost all of us have probably used a coupon of some kind. There's actually a lady who pops in now and then to our food cupboard program, and she's affectionately known as the coupon lady because that's one of her things. She's brought in coupons to give them out to people who come in to access the program. Actually, there was also a TV show that started, I think, around 2010, 2011, called Extreme Couponing that ran for a few years. In fact, it might be running today under a similar name. And another TV thing, program, organization, whatever it is. Here's what I want to note about coupons. What do you do with a coupon? What do you do with a coupon? I thought I'd throw a Pioneer something in there. I don't. It's somewhere in Ohio, but you know it's a coupon, so it says Pioneer. What do you do with a coupon? Yeah. Y'all kind of have that. It's sort of, you know, gives it away a little bit right there. You know, the first word is redeem this coupon. And so on most coupons, on a lot of coupons, you will see the word redeem or may not be redeemed with, you know, any other sort of promotional rights. You redeem coupons. You get or you clip out a coupon and you take it to the store or wherever and you give it to someone. Just happen to have my 20% off Bed Bath & Beyond, which I'll be rushing out to shortly. And you take your coupon and you give it to someone in exchange for a product or a service. They have something in their possession or control that you want. And when you give your coupon to them, you redeem that something or service from their possession or from their ownership. Here are some words that talk about the word redeem, and this is just a number of different descriptions of the word redeem. To get something back, to exchange a piece of paper representing a particular amount of money for that amount of money or for goods to that value. To buy something, to buy back something, or to exchange something for money or for goods or services. To gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. In Christianity, it's understood in terms of to free people from sin. Some of you read, and we receive here at the office and put in your mailboxes and on the Welcome Center, Our Daily Bread. There was a story in there about the one-time Prime Minister of the UK, Winston Churchill, and it read like this. It said, a wealthy English family once invited friends to spend some time at their beautiful estate. The happy gathering almost ended in a terrible tragedy on the first day when the children went swimming. One of them got into deep water and was drowning. Fortunately, the gardener heard the kids screaming and dove into the pool to rescue the young victim. That young boy was Winston Churchill. His parents were so deeply grateful to the gardener that they asked what they could do to pay him back for saving their child's life. He paused for a few seconds and then he said, I wish my son could one day go to college and become a doctor. That was bold. We'll pay his way, said Churchill's parents. Some years later, when Winston Churchill was Prime Minister of England, he was dangerously sick with pneumonia. Greatly concerned, the King of England sent for the best doctor who could be found to the bedside of the very sick Prime Minister. That doctor was Sir Alexander Fleming, the developer of penicillin. He was also, as you may have guessed, the son of that gardener who had saved Winston from drowning as a boy. Later, Churchill said, rarely has one person or one man, he said, owed his life twice to the same person. And you see, what was rare in the case of Churchill is in a much deeper sense a wonderful reality for every believer in Jesus. God has given us all the gift of physical life. And then through his Son, whom the Bible describes as the great physician, he's given us eternal life. Not only is God our creator, God is our redeemer, our giver of eternal life. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, we read, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And we see this idea all throughout the scripture. We see this idea of redemption all through the Bible. In Ephesians, we read, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Corinthians, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteous holiness and redemption. Titus, Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. 1 Peter, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Why did God bother to go to all this trouble? From what I read in his word, it's because he loves. He loves us. I know I'm a pastor, and so, you know, I'm supposed to be confident in all that. But some days, I don't get it. I don't know why he loves us. I don't know why he loves me, but I know that he does. And I don't have to completely understand that. He just asked me to accept that. He loves us. And because he loves, he chose. He chooses all of us who come to him. And he knew that would happen before any of anything even began. You were chosen by God. If you're a Christ follower, if you have given your life to God, if you have invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to be the CEO of your life and all of your business, you are chosen and you are redeemed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Thessalonians, we know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. Colossians, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's who we're called to be as redeemed people. I do want to say something here. Some people will tell you that if God has chosen some people to come to him, they will tell you that he's chosen others not to. That's what they'll tell you. God has chosen some people to come to him, and God's chosen others not to come to him. I strongly believe that this is a misinterpretation. I strongly believe that this is a misinterpretation. That means it's wrong. A misinterpretation of Scripture. And here's why. 2 Peter 3:9. This is in part why. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Man, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone or anyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And then John 1:12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You were chosen by God, not because others weren't, but because he knew you would accept him. God knew in advance and thus chose you. He says, I chose you before the beginning of the world, because he already knew. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, I think we just read it a little bit earlier, says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You know, we actually talk a lot about redemption in our society, and the words redeem, redeemed, redemption are not uncommon words in our vocabulary, but many people who use those words don't understand their implications in God's realm. The word redeemed and the word redemption are really very important words at the core of Christianity. Paul is writing in this verse to the Ephesians, and not only to them, because his letter went beyond the Ephesian church and it circulated among many of the churches, and by extension is part of what we is being written to us, believers in the future. And Paul is telling them that God chose us before we were even in existence to plant us into his body, his family. That's the reason we have such value, such worth, because we were chosen by God. And he worked that out. His method to bring people into that reality, to make that relationship happen, was the word redemption. He had to redeem us because we were in the claim or the hold of or the bondage of something else before we came to him. And we had to be purchased. We had to be redeemed by God to become his own. And so redemption is the key word. Redemption is an act of God by which he himself pays as a ransom the price for sin. Not to understate it or to be disrespectful, but the coupon, if you will, was Jesus. He was the payment. He is Jesus, who is the redemption, the deliverance by the payment of a price. Now, in those days, in that part of the world, I'm just talking about that part of the world in those days right at the moment, there were slaves in the Roman Empire. Sadly, buying and selling slaves was a common thing. They did it just like they bought and sold animals, but from time to time, someone wanted to buy a slave for the purpose of setting them free. And so let's say someone you thought very highly of, or someone you loved, or someone that you cared about was a slave. You could go to the owner of that person and say, I'll give you X number of dollars for this person. And you would purchase that person and you set them free. You say, I just purchased your freedom. You're no longer a slave. Go free. That's what the word redemption means in the verses that we've been looking at. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have the purchase which sets us free. Redemption, then, is the deliverance by the payment of a price. And here's why redemption is important. And this might be uncomfortable to say, but the Bible tells us that everybody who comes into this world is a captive. That's what the Bible says. It says we are slaves. No one is free. Every person in the world is a slave in their sinful state. Let me just read these. John 8:34, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Romans 6, thanks to God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Romans chapter 7, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good, Paul writes. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Who then, or what then, is the captor of people? What were we slaves to? Sin. Sin is the captor, or the bondage that holds people, and sin demands a price to be paid to release its victim. What's the price? What does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says about sin. It says, the wages of sin, or the price of sin, is what? Death. The price of sin is death. So in order to purchase or to redeem people from the grasp or the hold of sin, there must be what? Death. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, the shedding of blood is a term for death. So without death, there is no forgiveness. The wages or the price of sin is death. But Jesus redeemed us. He paid the price of sin, which was death. His death on the cross was to redeem, to set people free. That's the whole point of redemption. That's exactly what he did. He paid the price to set us free. And as I think about that, and as I read about that, and prepared this, it's, well, he did that for me. And he did that for you. Not you collectively. Yes, you collectively. But he did that for you. And he did that for you. And he did that for you. And he did that for you. In Galatians, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father. That was the price. That's why Peter said, you know that it wasn't with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Easter's coming. It's a time where we reflect and remember these things as well, the sacrifice that was made so that we could be redeemed. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? What's the result of being redeemed? The result of being redeemed is forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, but in case anyone misunderstands this morning, this isn't just automatic. This is the thing that's been made available for us. It's been done. Redemption's been made, but there's something that needs to be done on our part. And 1 John 1:9 tells us our part. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, you have to respond to the invitation, to the gift of redemption. The price has been paid. Redemption has been made. You just need to confess to him and to repent and to invite him into your life. Forgiveness is great, isn't it? It's nice to be forgiven, isn't it? And we're to pass on forgiveness as part of who we are as Christ followers as well. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So I guess I might ask this morning, are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? if you've confessed your sin to him and asked for his forgiveness, if you've invited him into your life to be your Lord and Savior, I know sometimes those are heady sentences and it's like, what is? If you've done that, even if you don't fully understand what that means, but you said, God, I don't get all this, but I confess my sin. I'm asking for your forgiveness. And would you just do whatever it is you do, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior, then you're redeemed. And if you are, I hope you're thankful. If you are, I hope you're grateful. All that God could possibly give, he's given to you. He planned it in the past. He's working it out in the present so that you might experience the fullness of it in the future. And it's all yours through faith in Jesus. Anybody who comes to Jesus receives this gift of redemption. He offers you a gift, and a gift is something you just accept. You don't earn it. I don't earn it. We can't earn it. We just accept it by simply in our hearts saying, Jesus, I want to take the gift. I accept the fact that you died for me. You paid the price to set me free. Forgive me. Come into my life. And you can do that right where you're sitting this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that tells us how much you love us. I don't always understand it, but you do.